All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday. It's NFL Draft Day. At least day one on The Usual Suspects. And I'm happy to report with a big day like that in tow, it is Nick back in the producer's chair where he belongs.
Yay!
Oh, what is up, fine people?
What's up, people? Playboy? How you guys doing? You didn't sound very excited about me being back, Barry. What's wrong?
No, I am. I'm just I'm having a weird day. It's everything's discombobulated. So
everything is running together. Is what it is.
No, it's just like I couldn't find my iPad, and then I had technical problems and. I had to get that resolved, and then, you know, right when we were going live, it cut out again, so I'm freaking out, hoping that it stays up. So, story of my life, 45-year-old man, hoping it stays up. What you gonna do?
Well, you know, they have medication for that, Barry. So, yeah. You know, if you need to have that taken care of, or you're looking for a little fun in your life, that, or at least help with it, I think Apollo Men's Health is on my roll. I can help you out. Just let me know.
I could do that, yeah, for sure. Then I got to wake up to my cat dragging his butt on the ground. So now I got to figure out what's going on with that. Why is he doing that?
Now, wait a minute, Barry.
It could be worms. No, this could be anal gland.
Well, we'll go to animal talk then. Because here's the thing. I thought I was concerned about you.
Well, I wasn't dragging my butt on the ground, Joel, so we're good.
No, we're not, because cats can carry the coronavirus.
I saw that.
You and Clarence are the first two, and my sister, but, you know, I was like, oh, God, Clarence and Barry better be careful. Cats can carry corona.
Two cases in New York. Now, yeah. Nora was telling me about that. She was like, oh, I was like, oh, Zaz, it's a cat. And she was like, babe. I was like, babe, it's a cat. Why did they waste two tests on two cats? Give those to people.
Maybe they were showing symptoms.
Well, okay, but it's a cat. Why are you wasting a good coronavirus test on a feline? Don't look at me like that. He's staring at me like, bitch, I will claw your face up. No, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And my wife got mad at me for saying that. But seriously, if testing is such an issue in this country, why are we wasting two tests on cats that could have been spent on two people that need those tests?
Do we even know if it's the same test that's being applied to begin with?
I mean, that's my guess. I don't know how else you would test for coronavirus. Do they have a feline version? I don't think so. I think they just draw or get like a swab and test it. I don't know.
I don't know if they do the test the same way. But they were talking like people were intensely wanting to know, how do you know your cat has it without a test? And really, the answers that I heard were similar to what human beings go through. Yeah. Well, the cat will have nasal congestion and, you know, a little bit more difficulty breathing, may sneeze a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, wow. Well, Claire,
oh, yeah.
Barry, beware.
They said that they had the two that got it had respiratory issues. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's something that you got to be aware of.
Well, he doesn't have the Rona. But he may have the Rhea, because, damn, he was dragging his ass all over the house. I was like, bro, what's going on?
Do cats get their glands done like dogs?
So I Googled it, because I was like, why is my cat dragging his ass? And it said it could be his anal gland, it could be Rhea, it could be something else. Oh, he cleaned it too much and made it raw. And I was like, oh, Lord. That's why his breath stinks.
Well, because when a dog does that, it's the sign that they need their anal glands released.
Right, or they have worms. That was the other option. They have worms. So, and I looked, and I didn't see a worm hanging out, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have worms. So I probably need to get him in for a tune-up, get him to the mechanic, get him checked out.
Yeah, I did that this morning with Sophie. And Nick, I don't know if you were on board for this one or not, but Sophie, the Camry, that's cost me as much as one, went in this morning to see the Dr. Andrews of pet doctors, I guess, here locally, to find out that, yes, indeed, they don't even have to sedate her. They don't even have to do even further examination. They're trying to save us money because, indeed, she has torn the other ACL. Surgery should be in the next 2 weeks.
Dang.
Wait, you're going through with the surgery?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I mean, this is how the wife sets it up, too. I mean, we're talking about it, and I'm just shaking my head. And I'm going, you know what? We just don't need the expense, but I understand. You know, I'm trying to think out, how did she do this? And I've been real careful. I don't let her run with the other dogs because right, I told you guys, right when she had the first one done, the left one done, they said, well, you know, the chances are 70% or above she's going to do the right one. I go, no, she's not, because she's not going to do what she used to do if I could prevent her from tearing it. She didn't do anything that I can think of. And Lisa's like, well, you know, that's why she came to us and I found her, because you know we would never not do the surgery, right? And I was like,
oh, you just got set up for that, did you?
Yeah, I did. So looking forward to the next 2 weeks. I guess the first – and the other thing they sucker you in on is – so she went to our vet. Now she has her first appointment with the surgeon. It's just an appointment that they can charge you for to mm-hmm. verify what the mm-hmm. vet's already verified, and then they can schedule the actual surgery.
Yeah.
6 weeks of recovery in the kennel. Oh, joy.
Good times.
Yeah,
good to
so
be
that
a pet
was
owner.
The Nick, anything wrong positivity with for today.
Keep my fingers crossed. She just needs a bath. Other than that, she's
stankin'
all
right. Ass. She's just a stankin' ass dog.
Man.
I called my groomer and she's like, no. I'm like, you sure? She's like, yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
How often do you bathe your dogs? Like
once
how
a
often?
Month.
Oh really?
I was told not to do like once a week or once every 2 weeks because it like dries up their skin, at least for my particular breed.
Okay. Now, this is where we need – I'm sure we have vets and whatnot that listen to this show because everybody from all walks of life listen to this show. That's the beautiful thing about our listeners. But I had this debate with Nora as well because she wants to brush the cat's teeth twice to three times a week. With a cat toothbrush and cat toothpaste. Because our other cats had awful teeth. And I'm like, well, I don't understand. What if, because, you know, what if this was just a cat in the wild? They don't brush their teeth. It, you know, maybe we get them like a hard treat or something that helps knock some of the plaque off. Because they would maybe chew on bark or grass or something that would do it. But what cat is brushing their teeth in the wild? And the same thing with a dog. What dog is getting a bubble bath in the wild? Why? At what point did we all decide that we had to treat them like humans? That's the weird thing for me.
Now, Nick, I don't know about with Chiquita. We give the baths based on, like, first of all, if they smell. And second of all, because the length of their hair. So, like, our retriever has longer hair. And so he gets a bath more frequently. He's also got a bizarre skin condition where every March, right just out of the blue, like a massive patch on his back just disappears. But and then it comes back. But the longer-haired ones get the baths more frequently. The short-haired ones probably every month.
I just saved myself and everyone from a horrible dad joke. So you're all welcome.
Okay, great.
You're all welcome.
Yeah.
So once a month. But again, dog would be bathing once a month in the now I guess I get it because it's for smell, but I mean is Chiquita smelling? I can't imagine that dog stinks all that much.
It's not I mean she's not when I exaggerated a little bit, but yeah, they can absolutely start to stink. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Or if they go out raining in the you know, running in the rain or you know they can stink. That's almost like guaranteed bath there.
Boy, that's the beauty of cats is they don't – ours don't go outside, and they bathe themselves, you know. That's – I dig that. I've never had to give a cat a bath. Well, I don't. Nora wants to. I'm like, nope, that's all you.
I do the teeth once a month too. I just drop
do you?
An extra $10 every time I bring it in. and she charges me $10 and she brushes the dog's teeth for $10.
Now my lab that I used to have, he used to let me brush his teeth, and there was chicken flavored toothpaste, and it's literally worth your time, because if you don't, at a certain time, the vet's gonna tell you you got to do the teeth, and when they do it, they put the dog under,
mm-hmm.
and it's like $350 to $400. So you can kind of prolong that the longer you brush their teeth. And the chicken flavored toothpaste, my lab would just sit there and almost smile. Brush his teeth. But I was just looking today. My lab retriever now needs to get me to start brushing his teeth, because I haven't brushed any of our dog's teeth since we've been in this house, and I need to, because some of them are heading for that freaking cleaning that is I'm not looking forward to with the bill.
I would definitely use chicken flavored toothpaste. I won't lie. I would probably use that. Some bacon flavored toothpaste, which I'm sure exists. There's bacon flavored everything, because bacon is so popular. But I would use that.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, look, dogs are expensive. So that's why I said we get rescue dogs, and because I see all these people that pay breeders and such, and it doesn't matter, because no matter they're going to get you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for the draft, boys. We got sports. We got real well. Kind of sports.
We got a lot. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, we do.
It was funny because I heard the bench talking this morning, and I finally just called Lance. I was going to call in because they had all these different guys calling in with their favorite teams, going, "What are they going to do here? What are they going to do there?" And I was like, I was going to call in as Bart from the Midwest, and just start doing the Wisconsin accent to get Lance to start answering questions and bust Granato for being a Chicago Bears fan and everything like that. Lance was laughing. I was like, yeah, but then time got short, and I know how you guys go about your business. But he's like, you shut up. I was like, next time. Yeah, this is Bart from up there. I was just, Granato, I like you guys, but you're a Bears fan, so I'm not too sold. But hey, Lance, this kid the Packers drafted, Rashad Gary, he sucks more than a shop vac. Is he ever going to pan out? So...
Should have done it.
Oh, God. I saved it for the suspects. Let's do this. Let's have a show today, huh? For the Key Ripes. We're going to get her going here in a minute. The usual. You want to call us? Call us. 713-780-3886. You can call us or text us, and then you can hit her on the Twitter line, and we'll respond when we get a chance. It's the suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Let's do the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city as it's draft day in Houston, Texas, and across the nation via the internet, as the case may be. Texans, of course, all excited because they don't pick till tomorrow night, number 40, unless some miraculous stroke of genius hits Bill O'Brien, which hasn't hit him in the head or the groin or anywhere in between since he took over the GM role. But at least, like you said, Barry, we've got something to talk about.
Yeah, and I got to give props to my man LZ, Lance Zierlein. His Twitter around this time of the year is not only informative, but can be hilarious. And his pinned tweet is when Lance does his draft analysis or his what does he call it? I guess, yeah, it's his draft grades and his analysis of non-football players. Like, there's a tweet right now where there's a dog covering some dude as a DB and, like, runs with him. The guy goes and runs a route, and this Doberman runs. So he breaks it down. He's like, you know, gets impatient at the press, excellent recovery, well-muscled. It's just the funniest thing, man. Like, remember the one with that big girl in the store? Somebody was trying to steal something, and she was huge. And the dude tried to run out, and she knocked him down, and she just stayed in front of the door. And every time he'd get up, she'd knock him down
again. Yeah, and
he broke
like
that
belly
down.
Bumped. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, those are the best. He just needs an account where he just does that. It's so good.
And it's a lot of people doing that stuff. I mean, Frank Caliendo now is in on it too, with like doing play by play of voices and mm-hmm. breaking things down. And look,
LZ's
everybody
got
needs
it
as much
locked, though. Man.
Levity that you know during this time. But yeah, Lance has, and the other thing is Lance handles it really well. Sometimes he doesn't, but even when he doesn't, it's entertaining. When he gets the people that call him a dumbass for the way he's graded certain players, whether it be because they're a fan of a university or a player or a team, and there are days that he's having a good day and just lets it slide. There's days that mm-hmm. if you want to go onto his Twitter and take a shot, watch out. Now it's coming back at you.
Get ready. He will, yeah. First of all, don't tease him about his brisket.
Nope.
Dirty bitches. And, yeah, if you take shots, 99% of the time, LZ's cool about it. But you might catch him on that 1%. Be ready.
Now, Nick, yesterday, Barry and I, in a little experiment that Barry had, we had three predictions that we would make that for what could happen in the draft tonight, but probably won't. Like, what
three
would you call it, Barry? Like,
three bold predictions.
Yeah. Bold predictions, and then I did for the Texans, and then we both did for the league and the draft, and then we each said Texans are going to take what position group with their first pick. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, we said what would you want them to take, and then what you think they'll take. Both.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
What do you think, Nick? What say you?
I hope something on the offensive line. I don't know if. Going for, I mean, I know the wide receiver depth is supposedly really good in this class, but
yep.
I don't know if, you know, when you consider his mentality, you know, my initial reaction is get a wide receiver, but when you consider his mentality and how he wants to go with like veterans that are aged and, you know, it makes you wonder. So I'd like to think he'd go for something on the O-line just to protect Deshaun Watson a little bit. You never know. He might need more time to get rid of the ball, or he might need a little bit more protection or a different dynamic of protection now that Hopkins is gone. So maybe O-line. What did you guys say?
I said D-line.
Barry? Yeah, I said secondary. I said they need help defending the pass because their group of cornerbacks – don't rate very high, in my opinion, against when you put them up as a group, as a collective. Depth-wise, I mean, number ones and twos, just a bad group, in my opinion. So I feel like adding a cornerback, a stud cornerback, because I know they went and got Lonnie Johnson, but he didn't look all that impressive, you know?
No,
so,
he didn't look great. But
the Johnson & Johnson experiment didn't work. You had Kevin Johnson for a while. That didn't work out. You got Lonnie Johnson. That doesn't look like it's going to work out. And I know you hate to keep trying, but what else are you going to do?
And I said D-line simply because of the fact that you let DJ Reader get away, and he was pretty damn good. So whether you know believe in who they have or you know that they're going to need long-term solutions along the interior line on the defense, you probably get a young kid that you can groom and keep around for a while to be a run stopper and to do some things on the defensive line. So. You know, because we've said all of those things, he's probably going to draft a punter. So with that, the draft getting going tonight, lots of talk right now. I love it because we know it's draft day because everybody is bringing up their scenarios, possibilities, trade talk. Looks like now the Dolphins and the Lions are talking about the Dolphins moving up to 3, but not to take a quarterback. Looks like they have their eyes on defensive line if they move up. That will, you know, kind of set some things. The dominoes would fall then down the line with everybody that's in need of a quarterback. Nick, as you said, receivers are going to be a hot commodity, so it's going to see how that all plays out. But this is, I love, you know, NBA draft day, NFL draft day is always fantastic because of the trades as well as the actual selection.
Yeah, it makes it fun. It's even if you're not a fan of all the teams, right? Like I could care less about anybody other than the Chiefs. Almost slipped up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But But I will say it does make it fun. Like it's exciting to see where some of your favorite college players go and what teams do what. To me, the most fun though is the trades. I think that's what gets me all geeked up and excited if there are trades. So that's what I'm looking forward to is how much activity there's going to be. There's a lot of teams or there's a few teams with a lot of picks. And so you could see a lot of movement and people jockeying for position. Like you said, the Dolphins have 3 first round picks. And they, not only were they talking, who did you say, the Lions? But they reached out to the Bengals and said, give us number one. And the Bengals were like, sure, we're good, fam. Because the Dolphins want to get their quarterback of the future. But the Bengals are like, nah, so do we. So, that would be, if the Dolphins offered to swap 1 and 5 plus throw you another first rounder, that would be really difficult to pass up.
I mean, you're Cincinnati, right? So the chances are you're going to screw everything up anyway, but you're not a very good team. You have Andy Dalton for one more year. If you're not completely sold, like we were talking about yesterday, that Burrow is a slam dunk, can't miss, and if you feel like there's a chance he could be Mitch Trubisky instead of the next franchise quarterback, then maybe you need all the picks you can get. I don't know. There's a lot of scenarios. Barry, it's crazy. One of the things that I threw out in terms of one of my far-fetched what could possibly happen in the draft scenarios, they're talking about the fact that if Tua would slide out of the top 10, that Belichick would call San Francisco and try and make a deal for the 13th pick because, like we talked about yesterday, he's friends with Saban, and if Saban says, if this guy slides, you got to get him, that Belichick might move up, and the Cowboys now may move up, they said, looking for a quarterback, which is another crazy thing we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, I think Tua sliding my bold prediction was he falls out of the first round, so I obviously think that he could slide. I mean, I've seen people saying that Herbert could be drafted ahead of him.
Yes.
And I could certainly see that. I mean, because of what I talked about yesterday with the low scores on the Wunderlich and then the injuries and then, you know, being left-handed, all these other things, that could impact his stock, even if he doesn't fall out of the first round. It might mean he falls out of the top 10, like you suggested. Which, hey, if you're a quarterback, if you're Tua, you don't want to fall. But if I'm Tua or any other quarterback, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to go replace Tom Brady in New England. That would be a nightmare. That's replacing Jeter with the Yankees. That's replacing Jordan with the Bulls. I don't want to go have to follow Tom Brady. Let some other schlub do that for a year and look bad. Then I'll go. But boy, if they move up and grab Tua, you talk about a ton of pressure with all the other issues that he's facing right now in this draft. Woo! That would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I think more than anything else, if Herbert goes above Tua, it's simply based on medicals. I think the medicals are you can't risk have any. You want to take as much risk as possible when you're drafting that high because, I mean, I was kidding last segment about the Packers taking Rashard Gary in the first round and he did nothing. But nothing makes a general manager look worse and have a short lifespan at a team than blowing a number one pick, especially if it's a high one. So,
yeah.
And speaking of that, I just actually almost lost my lunch. Tony Mandarich is on right now on ESPN with Jeremy Schapp, one of the worst picks the Packers have ever made in the top 5 of the NFL draft. He had better man boobies than Phil Mickelson after he got off the roids. Never worked out for us. All right. We'll continue to roll on. We're just a half hour into the show. We'd love to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's The Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We've been talking draft. I'm sure we'll talk about it throughout the program. So therefore, let you know, if you are out and about and you want to keep up with the draft tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, the entire draft experience, it's all right here on ESPN 97.5. It's all brought to you by Rex L. Coverage begins tonight at 6 o'clock. So the Blitz is only going till 6. Then they're turning it over to the draft. That also means Patrick Creighton and Lane Hiss is going to have no show tonight. Jason Braddock's going to be talking on Twitter. But he won't be doing his show with Braddock. The Blitz will be cut short.
That's so funny.
The first round will be here. Friday, the Blitz again cut short. 5 o'clock resumes the draft with the second and third rounds, I believe. And then Saturday, they're also going to have the draft. All brought to you by RexLUSA.com. Go there to learn more about their services.
Am I crazy? Because I'm still doing my live chats. I'm going to have it on. I'm going to watch it. But I'm still doing my live chat. Like tonight, I've got...
I mean, let's face it. Most of the people that listen to you don't like sports anyway. So they'll yeah, I don't think they're going to be watching the draft.
No, Carter Bryant is a sports guy out of Arkansas. He used to do sports talk radio in Arkansas. In fact, he filled in on SB Nation Radio a couple times. And he's also a stand-up comedian. So he and I are actually... I didn't plan it this way, but it worked out perfectly. Because he goes, do you still want to do this? Like 3 weeks ago, he's like, are you sure you still want to do it during the NFL draft? I was like, bro... We're both comedians. We're both sports talk radio guys. Perfect. We're going to break it down like nobody else. Let's do it. So yeah. It's going to be a lot of foolishness, obviously. But it's going to be – I think it's cool because what you're going to see now is normally people would sit down and watch the draft on TV. But because everybody's locked up, you might get a lot of people that watch a different version of the – people's takes on the draft. You know what I mean? Like you might like yeah. what we're doing or like what others are going to be doing. So I think it's going to bring a different perspective. I think it'll still be interesting. But yeah, it's going to be appointment viewing for most sports fans at this point. And when usually
I think
first round, yes, but tomorrow glued in again, just because it's not.
Yeah. But I think if you guys were doing it when the draft was like not virtual, but it was like legitimately anywhere and you guys could break down and bang on the guys for their, what they were wearing or what they maybe said in a certain interview or,
yeah.
you know, all these different, that would be hilarious.
Oh yeah. And I think it's going to be less about, the football and more about just roasting everybody. I mean, that's probably what it's going to be. But I, you know, I think there's room for a lot of folks to do that. So I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be fun. You know, some folks want the talking head experience, and that's cool. But if there's somebody that you like, go see what they're doing during the draft. I guarantee you, a lot of your favorite analysts or former players or whatever will be live streaming during the draft. I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's going to be fun too because like if they do these shots. At all the different players' houses, how many of them are practicing social distancing? Because
right.
I understand if your family's there and if you're all under the same roof, then that's supposed to be okay. You don't have to be 6 feet apart and all that. However, you know, the agents are going to be there mm-hmm. and the friends and all the other things. And it'd be like, maybe not. Where's your mask?
Yeah.
So people will be on social media taking shots at that as well. But it should be interesting to see just how they pull it all off. I said it yesterday. And it's legit. The you know everybody's worried about the internet connection mm-hmm. and how they're going to be able to pull all this off. The Lions have their IT guy in a Winnebago parked on the street outside their GM's house. Bill O'Brien showed his setup where he's got like 5 monitors and the keyboard and the desk. And he did all. He also mentioned
why
that
it ain't gonna
had,
matter.
He which gonna mess weird that is. Up. He and Jack Easterby, he said, pulled off the Brandon Cooks trade in his backyard on his deck with emails and phone calls. And I'm like, Jack's not in your immediate family. Although some people think you guys might have done something together to be this close. However, you're not supposed to be hanging out that close in each other's in some one of the two's backyards to work these things out.
Right.
I know Jack's a religious man, but I mean, come on, let's go. You can pray all you want, but you can't avoid the virus if you're that close. Let's go. Jeez.
Yeah. That's so, very yeah. suspicious, Bill. By the way, a couple of texts before we get too far past them. Nick, okay. somebody texted and said, my wife will groom your dog. Still doing house calls currently. So
I mean, yeah, if DM me, I mean, however I can get your information, I might consider that, but I live way out in the most, so.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, what am I hearing right now? Dog ACL talk? Dog bath talk? dog teeth talk, but Barry can't talk lawns? Yeah, suck it, you two.
No, you suck it because you brought it up with the damn cat with the butt skin.
No, it's so, a lot. Yeah, and then you guys just hijacked it into dog talk.
That's what we
and
do.
And not long talk. So
we know what we have to do to steer the program in the right direction.
So I said last text, I promise, can Joel do the Midwest voice all day?
There's a lot of people. Lisa loves that, too. She's like,
it's great.
She's like, it's do funny. That voice. I'm like, you know, believe you me, do you heard it every day.
Do you,
it just, it's,
do man. It during sex.
Start no. No, that will not
start,
be one of the
start
options.
Start talking dirty to her. You like that, don't you know? Oh, you betcha. Who's been a bad
oh,
girl?
God, for the key ripes. I didn't know you were going to wear that outfit. Yeah, baby, let's go on. Pull the ripcord and let's have some party time.
NASCAR Johnny, he said, damn, I'm a terrible dog owner. They get a bath like every 1 to 2 months, and I've never brushed their teeth. I've had one for 8 years and the other for 7. God,
yeah,
you got
Johnny,
your
let's,
dogs
let's
are just...
not, let's not candy coat it. You're a terrible dog owner. Yeah,
you're just
that's for
filthy.
Oh,
somebody
thinking?
Brings up a good point. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Somebody brings up a good point. Todd McShay out because he yep. got the Rona. Good opportunity for LZ.
Well, here's the thing, too. I was listening in this morning, obviously, because I told you I was going to call in. Lance gave himself his own haircut.
Oh,
that could have
well,
gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it turned out and all, but I'm thinking, is it really the best year to do something like that? I mean, you're going to be on a lot, and they're going to need you because they're going to need everybody chiming in on everything. You might have been doing that thing with the Nick Sciarra shine to it if you screwed it up. That's a risky proposition.
Yeah, it's a brave man to be doing that in front of a national audience, and he probably doesn't do it a lot. So, very.
But
brave.
It is an interesting point because of the fact that with McShay out, and I just saw that before we went on the air that I don't think they were kind of keeping it a secret. But that's crazy. That's like your Super Bowl. That's like your biggest day of your year, and everything you work towards. And you're not going to be on the draft because you got the coronavirus. And thankfully, he said, you know, he's recovering and all. But that's crazy. So he's out. And since it's a joint venture this year with the NFL Network and ABC and ESPN, man, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing more Lance Zierlein and getting
I'd
his
love it.
Expertise because he knows his stuff.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd do it, NFL Network. Do it. Make him put him on the head panel. Make it happen.
Yeah, that would be outstanding. So anything more?
Well, yeah, last thing here. Shout out to Onalaska first responders. Apparently a tornado wiped out an entire
yeah.
subdivision in Onalaska. So the first responders have been working very diligently to take care of folks. So shout out to them as well. I'm sure they're doing a great job and working their ass off. So.
Yeah, no doubt. It was scary, and people had their cell phone footage of the funnel cloud and the whole works, and just not something that you want to see anybody go through, especially with the virus and everything going around that will, you know, limit and have people cautious in terms of how they go about the cleanup and everything else. It's just awful. So prayers out to them for sure.
Man, thank God for first responders for stuff like that. You know, I mean, when you think yep. about it, whether it's I was telling you, I think I was telling Nora, I don't remember if I mentioned it on the show, but when I was running my errands when I go into Houston on Saturdays and I was driving around and I passed a homeless person on the side of the road, not the road, but in Midtown or near Midtown. And there was a fire truck and there was three guys getting off the fire truck and you could tell the homeless person was like coughing and had like they were just going crazy coughing wise, and I thought, ooh, man, those three guys are going to go and administer aid to this person and see what's wrong with them, and that's dangerous. I mean, that's yep. you know, that's a risk they're taking, man. So EMS and firefighters and police, first responders, everybody, we all appreciate you, man. You guys are you guys and gals, I should say, are great at what you do, and thank you for it.
Well, no doubt about it, and you mentioned that, but like. All these other things. We were talking about this, what was it, a couple weeks ago, the primary in Wisconsin that they decided to still have in the midst of the coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 19 positive cases connected to voting in the primary election in Wisconsin. You dummy.
Yep. Wisconsin people
are
smart.
Here's the thing. Wiser heads should have prevailed in the entire situation, Barry.
Well, Joel, people from Wisconsin aren't very bright, so.
You kiss my ass, because we are brighter than a freaking firework in a snowstorm in December when the glare's coming off the ice.
Oh, you don't know
what. It's bright.
That was
That's
bright.
Right. Yeah, you
that was
got
bright,
that right.
Midwest Joel.
No doubt about that there. It'll snap your... Well, never mind. Okay, we're going to... I'm going to get out of that. All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with a whole lot
I
more.
I got to get out of
that. First of, can you imagine me doing a read in that voice?
Yes! You got to do that. That would be great.
Stay tuned for the draft tonight on ESPN as they cover the first round. We're going to get her going after the blitz. Get the hell out at 6. Take you all the way till whenever the damn thing's over. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5er.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Suspects. We're talking a lot of NFL as expected today with the first round of the draft starting tonight. And, kudos to Floyd Guidry, who mentioned something that I had seen this morning. But we talked the other day about the fact that cops in Tampa saw a guy working out in one of the parks that was closed because of the restrictions on the based on the coronavirus. Found out it was Tom Brady, sent him home. Now it gets even better as offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers and former quarterback in the NFL, Byron Leftwich, was communicating with Brady about getting started on the playbook, the offense, and whatever. And I guess because of the virus, they made an agreement that Brady would just slide over to Leftwich's house, drop some stuff off, pick some stuff up, and then get on his merry way. And no big deal. Only problem is Byron Leftwich's house looks really, really similar to his next-door neighbor's. Brady, who I guess was on the phone with Leftwich on the way over, figured, oh, I got the place. I know it. I'm here. I should be good. Just gets out of his car, opens the front door, walks in. There's a dude sitting on his couch watching TV like, who the hell are you? They said,
did you see his tweet?
His head down. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. So Brady kept his head down and basically kind of mumbled something to the effect of, "Wrong, am I in the wrong house?" And then the guy gets up off his couch, and he's going to go see what's going on, and then he realizes who it was. He's like, maybe I'll get a picture. By the time he gets to the front door, Brady's already at Leftwich's house with the door shut.
That's outstanding.
Like,
what would you do?
You're probably going to have to take a picture and sign something for me. Otherwise, I could make this a big deal.
What would you do if you're sitting there and Tom Brady walks in your house? I mean, I know what you would do if Aaron Rodgers. You would get completely naked and be like, yeah, baby. But, I mean, how crazy would that be? And then, like you said, you're like, oh, babe, go get my camera. Because you know it's probably an old guy that has like a traditional camera. And Brady's gone. He's like, oops, sorry. I don't know if I'm – that's a question too for you. If you're Brady and you accidentally walk in this guy's house and then you realize it, do you bail and get out ASAP? Or do you be like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm Tom Brady. I was going to Byron Leftwich's house. I thought this was it. Because if you bail, then you kind of look like a creeper, don't you?
Well, plus remember in the Super Bowl there was the guy that looked just like Tom Brady, the Brady imposter that was going around doing all those things? So – I would say that rather than get myself in hot water, get this thing to be a story, or I'd be like, hey, my bad, man. I'm new here in town, and you know, I was going to Byron's house. He lives next door to you, and the houses look similar, whatever. And if the guy was cool, maybe there's a chance he's not a football fan, doesn't recognize you, and even if he does, say, hey, I'm going to go next door and take care of the business, some business, but, you know, before I leave, if you want to get a picture or you want me to sign something to make good for it, I'm sorry. I would have done something like that.
Yeah. That's just crazy, man. That's really wild.
You know, people sit on that stuff, or they're looking for their fight, either their 15 seconds of fame, or they're looking to cash in, and that's what you want to avoid. So, you know, to downplay it as much as possible, I would think that maybe, you know, doing something like that maybe get you out of that.
Yeah, that was that's pretty funny though. His tweet, Tom's tweet, was amazing. He tweeted out an hour ago, which Floyd tagged us on: trespassing in parks, breaking and entering, just making myself at home in Tampa Bay. That's so funny.
It is fantastic.
I mean, well, and, you know, the Tampa Bay thing I could do without, but
I'm with you. What was it? Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady are the two that he's patenting, which is even more disgusting. I mean,
I'm okay without all that, but yeah.
I know he needs to make his money, but he's made enough money. I don't know that I'm really worried about those. Yeah, he was fantastic. Look, he's got a good sense of humor about everything. And now the fact that he's got Gronk with him is going to be really interesting too, because I think that for two guys that have been in like the disciplinarian's chambers for all those years with the Patriots and the way they do things, Bruce Arians seems like more of a laid-back kind of guy. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how those guys act and how it all goes down. Now, you assume Brady's obviously going to be Brady no matter what, and he's going to be cool, calm, collected, and not do anything too outrageous. Gronk's a guy that could go off the rails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gronk could lose it. He could do some crazy stuff. Don't get it twisted.
So
speaking of that, there was a story out where he said it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to play in for Belichick and the Patriots.
You mean Gronk, right?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, he came out and talked about that, because you talk about playing in Tampa and all that. And apparently, yeah, he said he learned a lot about football, just not the, he said, quote, "I'm not going to sit here and say the Patriots are an easy organization to play for," but he said he learned a lot about football. I would see that as true.
No, I've heard that from a lot of players, and I've heard that from a lot of players who maybe didn't play there themselves but had friends that played there that said, look, veteran guys go there knowing it's going to be hell, and the only way it's all going to be worth it is if it ends up at the end of the year getting them a championship. But they also know, especially if they've come from bad situations, that it's the only opportunity that is almost a surefire deep run to the playoffs with a legitimate chance to win it, and that's why a lot of guys take less to try and win more and go there. But
how about going from Belichick to Bruce Arians? I mean, you're going from one extreme to the other, man.
But I think Bruce Arians is going about this whole thing the right way. I think the fact that he's going to be open to, hey, Tom, it's not just our playbook, and it's not just pre-written before you got here. Let's open it up. Let's put in some of the things that you liked best when you were in New England. Obviously now with Gronk, let's put those patterns and those plays into the book and make sure that you have what you need, and that we could be maximizing everything that we have. And the only way to do that is to be open-minded, a player's coach, and let those guys have input. Because if you come in with a Belichick attitude, but you don't have the Belichick resume, and try and tell Tom, yeah, you ran that in New England, we're not going to do that here, that you're just hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nick, are you there? Do you have that audio on Gronk, when how it all came about with him talking? He finally talked about how they came up with this idea to play together again.
We actually got together about 2 months ago, and we rarely talked about what his decision was going to be, where I'm at. But we did talk about for 1 second. I told him that we talked just real quick, like, hey, like, you know, it's kind of getting that fire underneath me again. I told him, and I said, I'm definitely interested in your decision that you make. I mean, I didn't put any pressure on him. I said, but if there's a right opportunity out there, and you go somewhere and the opportunity is right, even if you go back to the Patriots and I feel like the opportunity is right, there's a possible chance that I will definitely love to reconnect. And that's where the conversation started a little bit. And he was all fired up and juiced up about it. So that was something pretty cool at the moment. And in the end, it happened over time, which is pretty neat.
Well, that's what you touched on, Barry. I think he elaborated again. I don't think it's going to make Patriots fans any too happy, but honesty is Gronk's best policy, and he basically doesn't paint a rosy picture of, you know, all of the stuff they have to go through with the Patriots. It's just that they loved winning.
Yeah.
Did you see the other tweet that they put out where Brady's in, like, right near a wooded area? And he blows like a conch shell, and it makes like the
Didn't know where that was headed.
Well, and then out of the woods comes, it's like he's called for the troops, and Gronk comes running out of the woods and runs a route, and they're all about reuniting. And
That's great.
They had some good tweets.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, all right, so if you guys want to get in on some draft talk, or there's something specific that you want to talk about regards to starting tonight, the NFL draft, join us. Give us your input, 713-780-3776. Call or text the HRNP listener line, or hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Lots of other stuff to get to, including Barry has discovered something that will intrigue Rockets fans. A what could have been scenario involving the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler, and the chance that they could have played together in Houston?
Woo! Well, you just gave it away, Joel. What? You weren't supposed to. Worst tease ever. Worst tease.
Oh, yeah. And now he's a critic, too.
Oh, God. I was so wanting to surprise everybody. Not now.
We'll be back. It's the usual crap on the suspects. ESPN 97.5.